Good morning, everybody. I want us to look at what God has to say to us in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, chapter 7. We're going to read verses 24 through 29. You can use the pew Bibles that are, the Bibles that are in the chairs in front of you, or you can follow along in your choice of iPad, phone, or whatever it might be. I lose track of how many ways we can now have the Word of God, which is a great and wonderful thing, isn't it? So, Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24, we'll read through verse 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Can't think of a more appropriate passage for us to be considering and thinking about in light of this past week's headlines and news of all that has been happening in the Carolinas. All the flooding that's occurred. People have lived what Jesus just spoke about here in this passage. But in the last number of weeks, we've been talking about spiritual disciplines. And spiritual disciplines are intended to draw us into a close relationship with the Lord and even create in us His character as opposed to our own. God loves us. He loves each of us. And because He loves us, He wants to be known. He wants a genuine relationship with each and every one of us. And every relationship that we have is established and maintained by communication. How often do you hear it said, "I can't know what you're thinking if you don't tell me," right? Communication is the oil that keeps the gears of our relationships working. And so God, who loves us, speaks to us. Even as He spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, even as He told Noah to build an ark, even as He spoke to Moses from a burning bush, even as Paul heard Him on the road to Damascus, even as Jesus Himself said, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me." John chapter 10 and verse 27. So my question is this: what has God said to you lately? What has God said to you lately? And I might ask, how did He say it? You know, God speaks in a number of different ways. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, we read these words: "In the last days, God says, I will pour out My Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Now, I will tell you, that's not a common way that God speaks. It's not our usual experience for Him to speak through dreams and visions. But it does happen. It does happen. Sometimes God speaks to us through circumstance. sometimes saying through our circumstance, you are reliant upon me. And this circumstance brings that to light about just how dependent you are upon me. Sometimes it's through lots of reason that he's given in your circumstance to praise him, to thank him, to realize that he's blessed us. So he urges thanksgiving from us because our circumstance is so positive. Other times, circumstance is saying to us that this is the way to go. Walk in this way. Continue in this direction. God is confirming it. Scripture says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevail. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21. Sometimes God speaks through circumstance. I think of that moment, that time in Paul's ministry where he wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit forbade him and sent him instead to Macedonia. That was such an important circumstance that God used, an incredibly important circumstance, in fact. It is why Christianity is a Western religion, per se, that, of course, is certainly now global. But in that first century, that's the direction that it took, by reason of God's purposes, by reason of God's purposes that prevailed. And of course, he speaks to us through creation. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. You go on and you read Psalm 19. It's a beautiful psalm about how God speaks to us through his creation. And can't we affirm that, especially at this time of year, as we see the gorgeous colors all before us of God's creation. God sometimes speaks to us through godly counselors. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach. God uses godly counselors to speak to us. And then there's the inner conviction. Sometimes God speaks to us through an inner conviction. And I'm not talking about conscience, because we can warp our conscience. But no, there's that conviction of the inner person, of the inner man. The scripture says in Romans 8 and verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies that we are God's children. He gives us an inner conviction, and we just know in our gut that this is what God wants for us. This is what God is saying to us. But my friends, the final, and I think the reason that we can be certain God is indeed speaking to us, is by way of the Scriptures. 2 Timothy again, verse 16 and 17 of the third chapter, says, All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I suggest to you that the Scriptures are the normative way by which God speaks to us. The others are certainly ways by which he does speak. And we can be thankful for that. And we can listen carefully for those ways that he might speak to us. But this way, the way of the Scriptures, stands out because they're the standard by which we judge all the other ways that what we've heard was in fact the voice of God. All these other ways must align with what the Scriptures say, or else they might be another voice that speaks into our lives. You know, there are probably about four voices that influence us. There is the voice of God, but there's also the voice of self. The voice of self. When, in fact, our yearnings, our drivenness, our passions, our agendas, all of these really are what's behind what we're hearing, more so than God. And of course, it's the voice of men, other people who are shouting into our lives from the culture, other people that have designs of their own, who want us to conform to their ways and their plans for us. The voice of men can be very strong. And you know, it can even include the church. Sometimes there are people in the church who want us to conform to their agenda, their plans, their ways. And we've got to discern. And lastly, of course, is the voice of the devil himself, who Scripture says seeks to devour and destroy when he masks himself as an angel of light. Look what he did with Adam and Eve. And don't think that that's entirely unique, that he doesn't speak, in a sense, into our lives today. We cannot be deceived. So you see, there's something of a problem that comes with hearing. And hearing is a spiritual discipline. Hearing God is a spiritual discipline that we must cultivate, that we must practice if we are to become in a genuine, close, and intimate relationship with God, who loves us, and ultimately take on his character in our lives so that we reflect his image more so than our own. So what's the problem? Well, sometimes we're confused about which of these four voices might be speaking to us at any given time. Sometimes it's not confusion, sometimes it's fear. Fear that if we talk with God and if we hear God, we may be forced to make changes that we're just not ready to make, that we're just not comfortable with, that might in fact disrupt our routine, that might really be hard for us to do. And so we're afraid to listen to God, to hear God. It's probably not unlike the children of Israel. When they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, Moses, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." They're afraid to hear directly from God. How many times do people expect that if they're going to hear from God, they're going to hear it from their Bible class teacher, their pastor, or some other person who is in leadership in the church, an elder, but they don't think of themselves as being capable of hearing from God. And they're all too willing to hear indirectly rather than hearing from the very lips of God himself. Sometimes it's difficult to hear because our hearing is impaired. I'm on the verge of having to get a hearing aid. And I don't always pick up everything that's said. I miss some things. And sometimes that's the case for us. Blessed are the meek. Oh, what's the other thing you said about the meek? It slipped me. Oh, yes, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. We only hear partially. Our hearing is impaired. Or as someone is prone to say on occasion to me, selective. Ah, Ron, you've got selective hearing. Well, that's probably true. The other reason that it can be a problem hearing God is more problematic, and that is hardness of heart, where we shut out what God is saying to us. We hear it, but we pretend like we haven't heard it. We're angry at God, maybe for some reason, maybe relative to our circumstance. Maybe we're not getting our own way with God. And so we come to a place where we are hard in our hearts toward him. And that stops communication abruptly. That means that the heavens are silent for us. And that's sorrowful. That's very sorrowful. There's a difference, you know, a real difference between hearing and listening. Have you ever realized that? Have you ever thought, excuse me, did you just hear that? What I think I heard? Did you just hear it? I mean, just a second ago. Am I the only one that heard? You know what happens? We are always living with noise. We are always hearing. And it really doesn't impact us or affect us. All the time, we're hearing things. But we only listen when a person or an event jumps out of the background noise, the routine noise, and gets our attention. And so when somebody says, like I just did, did you hear that? Something happens. What is it that happens? We listen. We listen. It's not the same as hearing. We listen. Now, I didn't hear it. But we pause in what we're doing. And we listen. The difference between hearing and listening is attention. We pay attention. That's the difference. We hear stuff all the time, but we don't pay any attention to it. I just heard a car go by on the road, but I'm not paying any attention to it. You see, but if somebody said, "Did you hear that car go by?" then I'm going to listen. I'm going to pay attention. And my dear ones, that's what we need to learn to do. That's what we learn to do. Seth Horowitz, who is an audiologist, says that there are three kinds of attention. I didn't know this. There are three kinds of attention. First kind is startle, where something that we did not expect, something that was sudden, maybe even frightening, caught our attention. And we were startled. That's the first kind of attention. If somebody slammed that door at the back of the sanctuary, we'd all be startled because we don't expect it. It would have our attention. Second kind of attention, he says, is stimulus. And that's where we hear something that intrigues us. I'd like to know more about that. Yes, I hadn't thought about that, but tell me more. We overhear something, and we're stimulated to look into it further. The third kind of attention is what he calls focused attention. And that's where we choose to give ourselves to that person, to that event, to that issue, and we really look into it thoroughly, carefully. We turn ourselves over to it. It's got our undivided attention. Now what he said, and I didn't realize this, because I know nothing about physiology, is that the brain processes each one of these kinds of attention differently. So I want to suggest to you that this third kind, this focused attention, where we give undivided focus is what God wants and deserves from us. Have you ever had this conversation? You never listen to me. You never listen. What's the retort? I heard you. Isn't that the retort? See, my friends, it's a world of difference between hearing and listening. And I may have heard, but I didn't listen. So the final word is, we'll see. We'll see whether you listened to me or not. Right? What happens next will bear out whether you listened or whether you just heard as part of the background noise. Husbands, pay attention to what I'm saying here. Right? You know what giving our attention to someone means? It means we honor them. That's what it means. It means we value that person. The best way to give God the attention he deserves, because he loves us and he wants a genuine relationship with us and he speaks to us. The communication gap isn't with him, it's with us. The best way to give him our attention is to meditate upon his word, the scriptures, the Bible. His word. God even directs us, as he did the disciples at the time of Jesus' transfiguration, when he said to them, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." It's interesting, isn't it, that the scripture doesn't say, "Hear him." It says, listen to him, more than just hearing. So how do you meditate upon God's word? How do you meditate upon the scriptures? Let me suggest a number of things here that ought to be a part of our meditation process. One, we need to stop what we're doing. We are living in such a hurried, hectic kind of a society. So we need to come to a stop. We need to stop. Set aside some time to do this. And then we need to listen. Stop and listen to what God is saying. And we do that in part by looking very carefully, not just scanning, not just speed reading, but looking very carefully, thoroughly at every word. This text that we read this morning, the second word in the text that we read in verse 24 is everyone. And I want to look at that word, everyone, and I want to parcel out what that means. That means that Jesus is talking to me because I'm someone. And I'm not excluded when he says everyone. Therefore, everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice. He's speaking to me. But I need to really focus on each word. I could gloss right over that very easily if I don't take the time to look carefully at what the text is saying for myself. I miss it if I don't quiet all the other voices. And I need to ask, what is this text? What is this verse? What is this passage saying that impacts me? I need to ask those kind of questions. And I can imagine, and I think that's valuable to imagine. Imagine yourself in the situation, there on the mount, as Jesus is finishing his sermon. There are probably some people in the crowd among us who are looking at their watches and saying, "My gosh, Jesus, you went over, and I've got to get home and get that roast out of the oven or it's going to be overcooked." There are probably some in the crowd who are thinking, I've got a million things to do today. I can't remember. I didn't really catch what Jesus said. The ADD type, right? I've been thinking about a million things. I checked out a long time ago. There are probably some in the crowd who might be sitting there as all the others are getting up to leave and just pensively contemplating what Jesus said. Taking their time, absorbing it. I'd like to imagine that I'm one of those persons. Not so quick to get to the next thing in life, because he deserves my attention. And then I need to apply what he actually says. Make some application of it for myself. In this conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount, which some scholars have said contains the whole of Christian theology and doctrine, others have said is the gospel in a nutshell. In this conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount, I took about six takeaways as I meditated upon it this past week. Again, I think that there couldn't be a more apt passage given the headlines, given the news, given what's happened in South Carolina this week. The rains really did come down. The floods and the streams really did rise. And homes were genuinely taken from their foundations. So I looked at it, and right away where it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words, I took away from that Jesus is speaking to me. He's speaking to me. Everyone who hears these words. Secondly, I saw that it is wise to do what Jesus says. That's what wisdom is, to do what Jesus says. If you look at that passage, that's got to be a conclusion that we come to. It's wise for me to do what Jesus says. And thirdly, my doing, according to this passage, is just as important as my hearing. You know what? Hearing is going to give me a confidence and a power as Jesus speaks to me and teaches me and instructs me. The invaluable, authoritative word that he's got to say is going to empower me, and it's going to give me a confidence. But doing is going to give me a credibility and an impact with others. That's what doing is going to give me. And I can't settle for one or the other. And we can't be a church that settles for one or the other. You know, there are people who think that if they have all this Bible knowledge, then they are spiritually mature. But my dear ones, that's not spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity requires both hearing, listening, and doing. The church that is really reflecting the image of Christ in its community is a church that both hears and has, therefore, a confidence and a power in it, as well as that does the word that Jesus speaks, and therefore has an impact and a credibility in the community. Are we doing as well as hearing? Because that's what this passage is saying to me. And then I see that the impact of the storm is far more severe for those who are unwise. And I think about the people in South Carolina. And I think about what they've lost. For the unwise, they've lost so much. So much. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm not even talking about physical things, their homes, their cars, but I'm talking about their peace, their joy. Things that can't be taken away in the storms of life. For those who are genuinely listening to and doing the Word of God. So I need to respond to people who are shattered by the storms of life, people around me, with compassion. I need to respond with whatever I have that they need, maybe don't even realize. I conclude that the rain falls on the wise as well as the unwise. So it's really kind of nonsensical to blame God for what's happening. This is a fallen world in which we live, and the scripture says all creation groans, and that's what we are experiencing. That's what we hear. That's what we see. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we don't have to be hopeless when the storms come. We shouldn't be surprised. And finally, I see that Jesus taught with authority. He knows what he's talking about. That's how the people who were within his hearing when he initially spoke these words came away. Amazed. He didn't speak as the teachers of the law that they were accustomed to. Jesus, therefore, Jesus, more than anyone, is worthy of my attention. My attention. He's not just background noise, but he's worthy of my attention. So, my dear ones, the end of spiritual discipline is spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity requires hearing God, listening, meditating upon his word, his voice. I don't like it when I put my wife in the situation where she needs to say, you never listen. And I have to retort, I heard you. And she can say, we'll see. I don't like it when I put her in that position. Why should I like it when I put God, my Heavenly Father, in that same position? Whereby he says to me, Ron, you never listen. And I retort, I heard. He's going to say, we'll see. How about you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you desire a relationship with us. A genuine relationship established and maintained by good communication. How grateful we are that you speak to us, oh, through so many ways, but with such authority through your word. That's the standard for us, Lord. We acknowledge it. Help us, therefore, to give you our attention by meditating upon your word. Help us to learn from it, to practice it, so that we do grow. And we do become more like our Savior, the Lord. We pray this in earnest, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.